Welcome to Land Parties, episode 177 from the Las Vegas Review Journal, brought to you by Blue Wire. I am your host, Ryan Smith, and with me, as always, my co-host, Lucas Egan. Lucas, how was your weekend? How you doing, my friend?
I am doing pretty well. My weekend was good, nothing too exciting. So my dad had a knee replacement surgery a couple weeks ago, so I've been helping take care of dad and help out with some chores around the house that they need done, getting some Marvel Snap in, getting some Switch time in. So on that front, it's actually been kind of nice. I've had some dedicated time to spend some time with the folks and play some games. How was your weekend, Ryan?
It was good, man. It was actually pretty chill. I went down on Friday. I totally forgot it was First Friday, but the Las Vegas Inferno, there was a I went out and met up with those guys, and there was a Houston Hot Chicken that had opened up its location downtown. So we were out there. They had a DJ. They had fast cars going broom, broom, broom. Plenty of traffic. It was a lot of fun. Again, big thanks to them for having us out there. But overall, that was solid. I was grinding hard on Destiny 2. It was Iron Banner weekend, so I got all my Iron Banner stuff done. I am golden with that. And then basically some Marvel Snap. I'm not going to lie, I recently got Galactus, and I'm having so much fun playing a Galactus deck. I went so far down. I streamed Friday, and we lost so many games. But I'm back up to like 50, I think, 2 or 53 now. So the season ends, I believe, today is the last day of the season. So get it in while you can. I'm sorry, when this releases, it's already going to be a new season. But I'm told that June is going to be movement deck. So they're going to be really focusing on the movement deck and bringing new cards probably to that archetype. So I know that's going to be really exciting for those movement players. I can't stand playing against movement players because it's so tricky to figure out. Not only do you have to do math, but now you got to figure out the math is moving to different places. Like, yeah. It's crazy, but yeah, it's going to be awesome. I am happy. I do have a movement deck that I haven't used in a while, so it'll be nice to get some cards and do some stuff like that. But we got to get to it. There is a ton of news going on. Do you want to kick it off with us?
Yeah. So Summer Game Fest kicks off this week on June 8th at noon Pacific time, I think, with the opening show. It's going to kick off a lot of stuff happening this month. The Xbox showcase is happening on the 11th, I think. The 10th Game Awards 10th anniversary concert is coming up. It's all coming down, mm-hmm. Ryan. I am looking forward to this show, though, on the 8th. I always get hyped up, especially now that we don't have an E3 this year. This is our E3 again. So hopefully we get some surprise announcements. I think I say this every year. This is the time where every game is just going to be a total classic. So this is where I get hyped up for every game, and I hope for the best, and nothing bad is going to happen yet. So this is the time. I would love to see, obviously we would love to see some Last of Us multiplayer news. I still would love to see whatever new IP Naughty Dog's going to be cooking up for the future, even if it's just a short tease. I am all down for that. But I'm ready for some shock. I'm ready for some big surprise announcements. Hopefully we can get that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we discuss we really miss about E3 is that excitement, being able to do the bingo cards and getting all the new, you know, releases and trailers and things like that. So I think it's important to you. We were talking beforehand how they said their first party games are going to be either in game or in engine. So we're not going to really be getting any cinematics from their first party, which, again, if you're going to be showing me games, please show me gameplay, not the cinematics that are not representative of it. But I just wanted to quickly go down a list of the events. So this coming Wednesday, when this episode drops, the 7th, Guerrilla Collective has that kind of kicks it off at 9 a.m. Then, like you said, Thursday is going to be the big Summer Game Fest opening showcase. As well as Day of the Devs, Devolver Direct. We've got Accessibility Summer Showcase. That's Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Tribeca Game Spotlight, Future of Play Direct. It's Saturday. Wholesome Games is Saturday. Future Games Show is Saturday. And then Sunday is going to be that big one where it should be, or it's going to be basically that's just a Starfield Direct. So that is really going to be our big indicator as to where Starfield is, what it looks like, what they have in store. I'm curious to see what it, you know, again, we've had some Bethesda track record is not looking good right now. They've had, you know, the last few games have been kind of rough and rocky. Obviously, they're under the Microsoft IP or underneath the Microsoft Studios now. But and, you know, it's interesting, too, because it wasn't I'm spacing on the person's name. But it was he's saying that basically that they focused more on Starfield and they have more resources allocated to Starfield than they did Redfall. So I'm hoping to see, you know, that they have really dialed that stuff in and we get a good look at what the games look like. Other than that, though, I don't know. I have to think about it here for a little bit in terms of any kind of predictions. I would love to see The Last of Us multiplayer. I was kind of surprised that we didn't see anything during the PlayStation Showcase. But I think the writer's strike is, you know, it really has an effect more than just on TV and films. That extends to video games as well. Anything that includes writing is going to have an impact on. So that writer's strike may be causing issues with that multiplayer, with The Last of Us multiplayer, and who knows, some other games as well. I imagine we'll see something. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I just want to at least give me at least my prediction. At least give me two new IPs.
Okay.
Give me two new IPs that we can look at and go do like what they did with Hi-Fi Rush. Give us some spicy drops day of, I think would be incredible. Even just one, you know, and Hi-Fi Rush is a fantastic game. A lot of people love that. And that was straight up a surprise for a lot of people here when they did that showcase. So this is that time. This is that time. We are literally in the summer of games where we are going to be getting a ton of announcements. We're really going to get a better idea of what the second half of this year is going to look like in terms of games that should be coming out. And then looking to the future into 2024, what we can expect. So, you know, it should be fun. I love Summer Game Fest. It is a little different. I feel like that showcase is always a big deal. Obviously, the Direct on the 11th. There's all kinds of little showcases and stuff like that throughout. And then essentially, this is throughout the summer. There will be other events and other things that happen, too. But yeah, I'm pumped for this. This is going to be fantastic. It should be, I hope.
Yeah, Ryan, you know, Starfield's got to hit it out of the park. Obviously, we know that some of the drama surrounding Xbox and their lack of first-party titles and some recent struggles, Redfall, that we've seen happen. So I would rather see them delay if there's any doubt about the state of this game and whether it's going to be ready for a strong launch because they can't afford it. And, you know, it might be easy to say, hey, you know, they have a direct dedicated to Starfield. There's no way it's going to get delayed. But if you remember when they revealed Halo Infinite and then they just promptly delayed it because the backlash was so bad. They got to land this. So hopefully that turns out well. But it's going to be an exciting time of the year, obviously. Hopefully we get a lot of fun and cool announcements going forward. I don't know that I would. I guess, too, like it'd be nice to see like a little bit more from like the Wonder Woman game and stuff like that, that we've only gotten like logos from. So I'm ready for this, though, Ryan. It's going to be a fun couple days and a fun month.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, too, if there's any other games that maybe we've gotten trailers for or something here in years past that we really kind of just forgotten about and haven't seen in a while that they would bring forward. I'm just excited to see, you know, what new they have in store, what the future is for them. And then, you know, like you're saying, Starfield, like I'm trying to temper my expectations and that is only because the last few drops have been rough. So it's like, all right, let me go ahead and dial it back down a little bit. Let me not get too pumped up, and you know, because I don't want that kind of disappointment. And right now, I mean, if you think about it, there are a ton of great games out right now. We're gonna talk about it a little bit. Street Fighter 6 just dropped. Diablo 4 just dropped. Again, I haven't played either one, but I've seen my friends playing it, and it looks like they're having a great time. I will pick up Street Fighter. Like I said, I'm going to pick it up for the campaign, if anything. I'll probably dabble with some PvP, but for me, it's mainly going to be about going through the campaign and just enjoying that. It looks like a lot of fun. I've always wanted to be able to have my own character in that universe, so it's going to be amazing. But I don't know. Do you have any other kinds of predictions in terms of this, or do you think maybe there'll be any kind of, because I know that we have the accessibility days, I think it's that Saturday as well, so do you think there could be anything coming possibly from a hardware standpoint from Xbox?
That's a good question. I mean, if you go by last generation, we're at the time for a mid-cycle refresh from PlayStation to Xbox,
right?
However, I don't, yep. That would be a tough sell for me, especially because it seems like mm-hmm. both generations are just maybe now getting to like the prime, I guess, in terms of like exclusive games that are really starting to push the systems. So maybe I guess I could see that. My totally not going to happen prediction is, We did get that Matrix demo during the Game Awards announcement. So this would be a fantastic time to announce that new Matrix game that's going to happen one of these days. It's going to happen one of these days. And this is the perfect place to do it.
I love that you keep trying to manifest that game into reality. Excuse me. I think it's fantastic, but you're right. You know, this is typically that time where we'd start seeing that mid-cycle. Here's the Xbox Pro or whatever. But it seems like they've only just recently started moving along at a normal rate of things. Obviously, we had the pandemic. Things have been slow going in terms of that. We've had bouncing back and forth in terms of games, a bunch of games getting pushed back. So it's really hard. It would be really hard for me as well to be able to justify getting a newer version of these games. I feel like we or of these systems, I feel like we're just getting into the cycle. So I think it's kind of, It's very weird. It's not a typical cycle, mainly because of the pandemic and what the pandemic did in terms of, that was literally the first year. So we're only now starting to see some of the stuff that they can do. Shoot, we still haven't seen what Xbox can really do.
I was going to say, it'd be a tough sell for me for PlayStation. It's like a non-starter for Xbox for me.
No. Well, I mean, we've already said it too. It's like with Game Pass, what do I need to, I don't even need the console. I have my PC. I just play the games off of Game Pass. So Xbox isn't even something that I'm thinking about getting. A PS5 Pro, though, I couldn't justify that. There's no way. And who knows price-wise what that will cost, what kind of, you know, especially when you're doing those mid-cycle tunings and I guess newer versions, quote unquote. You know, for me, I always had to look at what are the big differences from what's come out, what's already out, and what you guys are saying. Here's a step up of it. If it's not enough change, it's almost like doing iPhones and things like that. Like I got to the point where like I was getting them every year, and I'm like, what am I doing? It's like the changes are so incremental. There is literally no point in me getting this new phone. I'm being a fool. So I have, you know, again, I have to tone myself down a little bit and be like, you don't need this, son, unless it's big, major updates. A lot of times you're going to be able to get around it. So I'll be curious to see if there is any kind of hardware that they introduce within this. And really for me too, this is their opportunity that I feel for them to really go in and highlight any kind of first party games they're working on. Again, continues to be an issue with Microsoft is their first party games. I think they continue to struggle if they don't show some sort of roadmap or some sort of like, here's at least what you guys have that we're working on that is first party that you guys are absolutely going to love. Again, my expectations have been severely tempered when he was talking about how, oh, well, we can't win the console race anyway and this and that. Like, that almost felt like a defeatist right. attitude. And again, even if that is the reality of the matter, telling your community that it very much, it doesn't get you excited. If anything, it does the exact opposite of that. It's like, look, you guys don't seem very excited about this. I'm not going to get very excited about this. So we'll see. But you do have games like, I think like Fable, right. Possibly. You've got things like, I'm spacing Elder Scrolls. If we don't see something on Elder Scrolls, I'm gonna have a hard time believing that it's actually gonna come out at some point in time. I'm just sitting there trying to think of what else they can do, and maybe Bethesda's working on some things as well. But yeah, they need to knock this out of the park, because right now, you know, from the last couple of releases that they've had, things and how they've gone, they need some good PR. They really need some good PR and to show their community that, hey, you know, we told you guys the truth. We were upfront about this. Well, we weren't upfront, but we eventually told you guys after you got it in your hands. And, you know, we still have stuff for you guys to be excited about and a reason for you to come into our ecosystem. That's the biggest thing. If there's no reason for people to go into the ecosystem, then what's the point? What is the point? I do want to add, too, I finished Jedi uh-huh. Survivor. It was amazing. I totally forgot that I finished that. It was great. If you have not checked it out, or if you're thinking about getting it, highly recommend. It was a great story, great gameplay, a lot of fun. I love that.
Speaking of new hardware, Ryan, we got some news that the Meta Quest 3 is going to come out later this year. Full details will be released, I think, in September. But we did get that it's going to start at $499 for a 128-gigabyte version. The Quest 2 will remain on sale for a, in quotation marks, price cut down to the original price, by the way, that they had cut it down to. Then they raised it by 100, and now they're lowering it by 100. So you know what? I'm sorry, Meta. I see through that. That's not a price cut. You're just returning it to what it was. And now that the Quest 3 is coming out, it's way less of a good value than it was before. So good on you, Meta. Good right. on you. However, so the Quest 3 is going to be obviously more powerful. It's going to be slimmer, which I think is important, because I still think that's one of the biggest barriers to VR, is those darn headsets are really hard to play for an extended mm-hmm. period of time before you get all sweaty and uncomfortable, and it's a little heavy too. Yep. At least I thought the Quest 2 was a little front heavy for my liking too. So I think that they're making the right steps forward. I think $499 is a little, you're starting to enter a different price tier than what they were going for with the mm-hmm. Quest 2. So I think that's going to make people think twice. I think the biggest thing is, I don't know that there was a game on the Quest 2 that made me go, yep. I think, you know, Beat Saber was a lot of fun, but I don't know that was killer app that was really selling people on why the Quest 2 could be a viable gaming option for a lot of people. So I short of that, I think with a higher price point, it's going to be a little bit of a tougher sell. And obviously, Ryan, we're not in the midst of the worst of the pandemic right now, so people are not staying at home as much as they were. So I'm intrigued, but I'm not going to buy it day one.
No, this is definitely not a day one. There's no problem with my Quest 2 as is right now. Don't get me wrong. This does look clean. It's slimmer. And like you were saying, like, having that thing on your face does start, you know, you get all sweaty and like it gets all foggy and it's kind of annoying. But, you know, even more importantly, we know that right now, as we're recording, the Apple is going through their stuff right now. So we know that we should be getting today their price point and what their VR thing looks like. I felt like this is a smart move on Meta's point, or on Meta, because they're definitely going to be under what Apple throws out. We Well, you don't even have to ask. The moment I found out Apple was doing one, I was like, that's going to be the most expensive VR headset out there for no absolute reason, just because. So this could also play into and kind of dumb down a little bit of the hype of the Apple, because they're going to come out with an exorbitant price. And then you're like, but you can get this new Quest 3 for $500. Also, mind you, it is still cheaper than the PSVR 2 as well. So I think this is smart marketing play on their part. But more importantly, too, now, and we talked about this when this happened, when they first made the switch over and move things they moved the price up. You know, they saw that the market wasn't quite there like it was when we first went into the pandemic. Things had changed and you know, they shifted and adjusted. Obviously, this isn't a price cut. This is them going back to what that original sweet price of $299 was. But that's a huge incentive for people to at least get into the Quest 2, get into their ecosystem and start messing around with that stuff. We know that you can connect that to PC and other platforms. You're not just stuck to a proprietary system or anything like that. So, I mean, to be honest, I really think this is a smart play on Meta's part. With this announcement, with the pricing, again, there's nothing out there really that's making me say, you know what, I need to get this day one so I can play blah. You know, it's just not, VR does not have that yet. I think we're getting there. I think more and more people are going and developing games specifically. I mean, look at Half-Life Alyx. I'm spacing on another one, but you got Resident Evil 4 that is going to be coming out on it as well. So I do love the fact that they're at least bringing some of these higher end games like that, and they're bringing this VR component to it and allowing people to get more immersive within these games that they like. But I need to see more on what the Meta Quest 3 is going to offer that is more than what the Quest 2 already does. You know, anytime there's any kind of step or change, especially in hardware, I need to see big changes in order for me to be able to justify even looking at it to possibly purchase. Again, I've got a Quest 2, so I'm going to be even less inclined to pick this up because I already have a Quest 2. And again, you already said it. It boils down to what's my return on investment. I don't play a whole bunch of VR. It's more of a novelty thing for me to play. Although there are some, X8 is pretty dope. It's like Valorant on there. I am enjoying that. But a lot easier than Valorant. But, you know, again, it's just hard. It's hard. This is more, in my opinion, these luxury gifts or things that aren't something that people, if you have some extra income, you may look at this. Or if there's a holiday coming up or something like that, people aren't just going out to use this as their main gaming machine. However, there is that ability. That's the one thing about Quest 2 or Meta Quest, is that you can run it standalone. You don't have to be hooked to a computer or a PC. You can bring in your Steam library, all that stuff. So they're already out the gate. There are way more benefits to me in getting that than, say, the Apple, which we don't know even what that price is going to look like, but we should know shortly. And then the PSVR 2, which is tied directly to your PS5, which for me is problematic. And I think for newer consumers that are looking to jump into the VR market, that's a hefty price tag, because then you also have to own a PS5. So if you don't have a PS5, you have to get a PS5 and a PSVR 2. That's $1,000+ easy out the gate.
I feel like the Quest's holiday marketing is just going to be, you can get a bajillion Quests for the price of one Apple headset. And then that's all I'm going to have to say. But no, this holiday season is going to be really compelling and really important to virtual reality, because in theory you could have Apple's headset, the Quest 3, and obviously PSVR 2 is out. If sales aren't picking up momentum this holiday season, that does not bode well to the long-term future of VR as kind of a mass market machine there. So I'm going to be real interested to see how these headsets kind of coexist and how they sell going forward. This year is really important.
Yeah, and we've only talked about Apple PSVR to this, but there's other ones too. There's Oculus. Oculus is different, right?
Oculus was the Quest. Is they renamed? Yeah,
was the Quest. Okay. There's Hive, HTC. Yep. There's some other folks that also have VR headsets as well. So I think like any other console, it's really going to come down to the games. If there's good games on there, people will pick it up. But again, to me, VR still hasn't gained quite that popularity. Like you said, we're not sitting at home as much as we were before, so people are going to be less inclined to do that. We're not getting any kind of government payouts or anything like that, so there's not that extra cash flow that we all have. Like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pick up a Quest 2. Why not?
Yeah,
but I am excited to see what kind of changes they have.
This is an interesting question, Ryan. If a hypothetical PS5 Pro comes out, which is going to be around $500, you'd have to guess, right? At least, would you be more tempted to buy a Quest 3 or a PS5 Pro?
Probably a Quest 3. I don't feel, you know, I mean, it's kind of hard to say just because I don't even know what the specs and stuff like that of the Quest 3 are. So for me, it's really looking at, you know, because I own both. I own a Quest 2. I own two PS5s. So what am I going to do? You know, what can it do more that would make it necessary for me to go and be like, I have to have this, or I need this, or whatever? Nothing. Again, this is a novelty. I don't play the Quest 2 enough for me to justify dropping $500 on a Quest 3. I'd look at myself in the mirror crazy. Yep. Like, what are you doing?
I do think the other question I have about the Quest 3 is, if the Quest 2 is going to continue to be sold, how many Quest 3 exclusive games will there be, as opposed to creating games that have to work on both systems?
Well, and that makes me a little nervous, because when we went from the Quest 1 to Quest 2, didn't they kill a bunch of titles? Like, a bunch of stuff did not port over to Quest 2 from Quest 1, correct? Yeah. So is that also going to be an issue? Because that's very problematic to me, is that if I've got these games, I purchased these games on Quest 2, they better work on Quest 3 if you're going to even have a chance at me upgrading to this next level. Without that, dude, there's no way. The same thing happened with PSVR. All the PSVR games, do not work with PSVR 2. So you basically have built this library, or you have these games, you've spent this money, and now they've become basically defunct because they don't work with the new stuff. Like, that to me is super problematic. It is. Because, again, moving forward, we're just going to end up running into the exact same thing as we go into these new generations. And I would hate to see that happen, but I like to think that they are smarter and that they are watching, you know, they've been watching that kind of stuff. And I feel like MetaQuest basically is going through and saying, here's the things that we don't like about the other ones, that the stuff that price point. Games, how you play it and stuff like that. And they basically say, we're going to solve those issues. That's not a problem with our system. You can come on in. The only thing, though, is that you have to have a Facebook account to use the Quest. I know that there was on the Quest 2, there was a change in like how you logged in and like kind of messed up my stuff, where like I had to sign in with Facebook, which is a little annoying. And then it wasn't very intuitive, but you know, it'll be interesting to see, because that also will help to, I guess, bolster their, I mean, not that they need bolstering on their Facebook numbers or anything. They got plenty. No, hopefully they're looking to leverage their Facebook audience into this, is essentially what they'd be looking to do. And then they say, oh, make it easier because you already have Facebook. Just connect your Facebook account and all that stuff, you know, all connects and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, that'll be good. But again, for me, it's just not there games wise. There's not enough games to be able to justify going and doing that. And then, of course, the other big factor, I think, in this too, is the comfortability level. How long can one really game? Because there is that game that I have that's like a It's almost like a D&D board game, but you play it in VR. It's really, really cool. It's called Demio is what it's called. And, you know, that's great. But, like, dude, like, by the end of the session, like, I was just pouring sweat, getting sweat in my eyes. I was like, ah, I can't
you know, see. You know, the only thing we're missing is Nintendo Labo 2.
Hold on. I got one.
Oh, right snap. You've got one.
I don't. I've got a box. I'll just cut it. I'll just cut this. And oh my goodness! I'm trying not to die over here. what a fun time to be for gaming. Not only do we have amazing games coming out, but the hardware and stuff like that that's coming out. Everything is moving technology wise really fast. I think though, again, with the oversaturations of games and hardware and stuff like that, I think these companies need to be more particular and more direct when it comes to how they're selling this stuff, because there's so many options and so many choices that if you don't get it right, if there's silly little things, people ain't got time for that. There are options now. There are tons and tons of options. So you just can't get away with shenanigans like this in the gaming world anymore. So I'm sure they'll come out strong, but I need to see them stats. I need to see them stats. I need to see them numbers. And you've got to give me a reason to say, you know what? I got a Quest 2, but I think I'm going to pick up that Quest 3. That looks smooth. We'll see.
Yes, we will. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's take a quick break. We're going to check in on that the Apple conference that's going on right now to see if they've announced anything. And then we'll be back on the back end.
If you love listening to us here on LAN Parties, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about your favorite team or game, then make your voice heard and hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening to the short messages. Ryan and I just got done watching the announcement of Apple Vision Pro. I already almost forgot the name. And look, okay, I'll be positive to start. It looks really sleek to me. It looks light, which mm-hmm. we were just talking about is one of the detriments to these headsets. It sounds like they're going for what the Quest Pro was trying to do, kind of a VR AR mix. Ryan, we made fun of the Quest Pro when it came out for its price.
Wow. I think our jaws dropped when we heard the price
that
of the Quest
looks
Pro.
That looks like a bargain now. Oh my goodness. Yeah. $3,500 for this bad boy, which immediately just takes it off the table.
I mean, that is more than you can build a custom PC that can do a lot of that stuff for way less. You know what I mean? Obviously not the VR or the AR aspect. All right. So this is what I got, you know, from this as well, that this clearly is not a gaming machine. Okay. This is what Apple is trying to set up is essentially they're trying to get ahead for what the future of just business, work, normal day-to-day things. It, you know, they really talked about being able to utilize multiple screens, high fidelity, you know, this and that. They talked about movies and being able to sit there and go to different environments, make the thing as big as you want or whatever. The big things for us, the big takeaways, number one, the battery. So it's an external battery. I thought it was an additional battery, but it's just straight an external battery that gives you 2 hours of play. Okay. 2 hours. I can't even get through a whole movie in 2 hours. Like, what is this? And if you know Apple, you know, they've already got their, you know, proprietary, you know, hardware and stuff like that for the side. Oh yeah. Yeah. The base battery gives you 2 hours. If you get the mega battery, it's 4 hours, and get the Apple Plus battery, that's going to give you 6 hours of time. You already know they got that stuff priced out. This is $3,500. Here's the difference though. This is the big difference is the fact that they, and how they're distinguishing this is that it is a computer right on your face. Okay. That's how they could even get away with charging a price like this. This is insane. This is way out of everybody. Not everybody, obviously, but us common folks, this isn't even close to going to be a reality for us to be able to actually utilize anytime soon. You know, so I don't know really. I understand where what they're looking for, but I just don't feel that there's enough practical uses to really be able to, at least on a consumer level, maybe on a business level, in some very niche industries, could I see this helping? But I couldn't imagine editing on Final Cut, just using my. I mean, you know, and again, I couldn't even imagine using Final Cut 10 when I first saw that. I was just like, this weird way of editing seems weird, and it's different than what we've ever done. So obviously, people will get used to that stuff, but it just doesn't seem practical to me. I do love the fact, though, that it's more AR, so you can see what's around you, but at the same time be able to enlarge and this and that, so you can function in the real world and within that virtual world as well. The other big thing, I'm a huge audiophile, so the fact that they're talking spatial audio, I think that's going to be, I think that part's probably amazing and really gets you even more immersed into whatever you're using. But again, you're not, you know, the big thing here isn't really games. It's more day-to-day things. They talked about being able to do 3D videos and 3D photos with your headset. Can you imagine being at the park wearing that thing? Like, hey girls, look at me.
Yeah.
Damn, gosh, take it off.
I'll say this. The hand and face tracking has to be super amazing, right? The way that they were pushing how you can do your workflow on this headset, this computer. So my assumption is that this has to be like the best hand tracking of any headset we've ever seen. Much like I said about the Quest Pro, there is zero chance, like if I ever got my hands on this for some reason, that I would be at my desk every day with this headset on when everybody around me is just on like a computer, like a laptop. Like what?
Right.
This seems like one of those headsets that, unless you're in like a niche company, that like everyone would have to buy into this for it to be like useful for a company, right? Right. Am I like
I would think so. You'd have to go all in as a company. You would have to change your workflow as a company in order to, I feel, really utilize this thing.
That's insane. I will grant them that having the battery be external does reduce the weight off your head, which we just said was one of the biggest things that we didn't like about current headsets. However, 2 hours, so they were showing Avatar in some of their promotional stuff during that presentation. Avatar: The Way of Water, by the way, is a 3-hour and 12-minute movie. So you could get through 2/3 of that movie and then your battery would be dead in ideal conditions.
Right.
And if Apple's saying you get 2 hours, I kind of think you get more like an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes. Let's be honest. So I understand that, like, that the current use cases for headsets, people don't wear the headsets for that long. But if you're promoting this as like a work computer, people work for, you know, 8 hours a day. So the battery life thing, I think it becomes even more pronounced once you position this as a workflow machine, because we work for more than 2 hours a day, unless you know of a place that doesn't and tell me if they're hiring, and I would love to go to that place.
I mean, you know, again, I think a big thing for me is I still feel like there's some details that are missing. Like you said, 2 hour isn't long enough. They know that. We know that. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are different variations of that battery that will go for. So its base price, $3,499. You're going to be looking at, if, and I'm guessing, because I don't even know what memory wise, how much internal memory it has, what that stuff looks like. But I mean, easily $4,000 for a computer that you get to wear on your face. And again, we don't even know how intuitive it's going to be, how much you're going to be able to do with it to be able to justify spending $4,000+ on this. It just doesn't seem, it doesn't seem reasonable, and it certainly isn't consumer friendly. I don't think this is necessarily for your average consumer. And then this also could be the setup too, to where they have a lesser version of this that they'll end up selling, kind of like the iPhone, how they went with the Maxes. Then you got the normal ones, and you got the different colored ones. So I feel like they're also kind of setting themselves up to be able to, like, oh, I know, that's for the pro. If you just want the vision, then that will be $2,500, which again still is not reasonable. At all. But I mean, I think the concept of what they're doing and like the technical specs of what they've shown is incredible. I do agree that it, in the future, we will see and be utilizing things like this more and more. We're not there quite yet. I think they're just setting themselves up though to be in that position, but no one's surprised. But at premium Apple price, $3,500 is,
and here's the other thing insane. That I would be really interested in knowing now is how that performance compares to the Quest Pro, because Meta just got handed a gift to say you can buy like 3.5 Quest Pros for the price of one Vision Pro.
And I think that's what a lot of this is going to boil down to it now, is we got to look at them specs. We got to see them. We got to see what them specs are. We got to see what the, you know, we got to be able to compare the two to see, all right, I see, you know, why they're charging so much more. Again, we know Apple makes solid products, but at the same time, you can get a lot of what Apple makes cheaper on PC just because it's not attached to that name that's already expected to have these high prices. So, you know, I don't know. I think this may end up hurting them more than
I will also say this them. Too. And I am an Apple guy. I have an iPhone, my laptop's a Mac. You know, I'm an Apple guy. But a very reasonable case can be made that their first generation of a product is a little rough, and that's not a knock. I mean, because it's a new product, and it's usually that second or third generation where Apple seems to kind of hit their stride. Look at like the Apple Watch, or even look at the iPhone, right? If you look back to the original iPhone, it wasn't until you got to the 3G and those models that they really started to morph into what we kind of think of like the modern smartphone that we think of today. So that's another reason why I would be hesitant to buy this one, even if I had the money, is, you know, let them kind of get the kinks out and get to a second generation. But that's a really expensive ask when it's $3,500 instead of hundreds of dollars, which is still expensive for a lot of people, myself included. On that note, Ryan, I think we should start a collection.
We'll pool our money together and we'll get one to test out.
If any of my our bosses are listening, okay, I need like I need a really big raise.
Look at that. Would you look at that? That's perfect right there. There's a black and white one right there that we could just get to scoop this up for us. We'll test them out. We'll let you guys know the real deal. I mean, from a practical standpoint, though, or like some things, like if there are ways to get more battery life out of it, the movie stuff sounded really cool. Being able to transport yourself, make the screen huge, the spatial audio. Like, I think that'd be a fantastic experience. Again, I'd have to feel, because I've worn, you know, even wearing the Quest 2, like your face gets sweaty, you know, the things start fogging up a little bit and it's not the greatest experience. So they're, you know, I think they've really put a lot of focus on, making that user experience better. At least that's what it sounds like, which is definitely a step forward in this, in the VR space, in the headset wearing space. I think it's crazy the fact that there's not a need for controllers. Right. That definitely frees up your eyes or your hands. And I think that is something that's really neat that they'll be able to utilize and whatnot. But again, there's just not enough there for me. Obviously, it's got the M2 and they created a new chip. I think it was an R1 specifically for this. So this is, when you think of this, this literally is a computer on your face is what they've done. The only thing, though, again, is how much memory does it have? How much battery life can I get out of it? And then looking at it from a price standpoint, can I really justify dropping $3,500 to $4,000? I mean, out the gate, it said that's the starting model is $3,500. So you want something that's probably going to be closer to what you actually are looking for. You're probably getting in the $4,500 to $5,000 range, which is insane to me. I can't even think of any companies. And this is the biggest thing. Like, I guess I'm having a hard time nailing down who the audience is that they're trying to get. It's not normal, you know, just folks like you and I. This doesn't come close to us being able to not only the right out the gate price that you have to pay for it, but then the usage that you'll get out of it is going to be very limited. I cannot see myself walking around in a headset all day long, even if I did have the battery life. I feel like your face would get sweaty, you know, and I'm just having a hard time with this. It's gorgeous. It looks gorgeous. It sounds gorgeous. It's very, very powerful machine on your face, but I just don't see these selling. I want to see who's buying these. I think what's going to be huge in terms of, and again, there's all kinds of people that, I'm an Apple guy as well. For the longest time, I said I'd never own a PC, but then I realized games run a lot smoother on PC. Hey,
speaking of games, we also got a look of Death Stranding on the Mac, coming to the Mac apparently. So I will say, when they showed Apple Arcade on the Vision Pro, that does sound somewhat compelling to me, right? You could make the screen as big as you want, and sit down and play. The issue for me with that, though, is I feel like Apple has a good idea in Apple Arcade, but they need to like really put their foot down and make that into a more well-rounded service. But as a gamer, that specific use case sounds pretty interesting to me, as does the movies, Ryan. You're right. That actually sounds like a lot of fun. It seems like a super specific businesses might pick this up, or somebody picking up the white version to do like the world's most expensive Daft Punk cosplay. And
well, that's all I needed it for. I'm done with it. That would be insane. I want that life. Yeah, this is gorgeous. It's absolutely stunning. But again, I cannot see these flying off the shelves very quickly at all. And then I think that also then, you know, and of course we don't know. I think it's predicted to come out. When they said it's coming out 2024 or Q3 of early next year. So, you know, I'm just wondering if when this does come out, if it doesn't make the numbers that they're looking for, are they going to make adjustments? Like we saw with the Quest Pro 2 started out at, or I'm sorry, the Quest Pro started out at 1500. A few months into it, they dropped it down to 1000. They took off 500 just to be able to. I can't imagine that Apple is not going to run into that same issue.
Yeah, it's we'll see how this does. And it's an exciting view of the future for sure. Let's just hope it gets here sooner and becomes more readily available to us, because it's not right now, unfortunately. It's not.
Not even close.
I will say, too, the one thing, Ryan, I told you this on our break here. They were talking about privacy of where your eyes are looking. Man, talk about bringing up an issue that I didn't even think of. That we live in a crazy world now, mm-hmm. that we have to make sure that where we're looking on a screen has to be secure.
Yeah. Again, thank you, Apple, for making me aware of something that I don't even think about. I don't even know how someone could leverage that data, but the fact that you've told me that that's a security thing, now it's in my head.
The funny thing, too, is like when I look at like a web page when I'm browsing, my eyes just like wander. Like, mm-hmm. and it's not even like I'm like drawn. Right. I get like overly stimulated. I'm like, look at that, look at that, look at that. So I'm like, man, if somebody tried to track that, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys, you have like no useful information, because I'm literally just like, oh, look.
Look at everything. Yeah, very, very cool. I'm curious to see how folks end up utilizing this. I need to see some actual, you know, use cases in this and what that looks like and who the folks are that are going and getting this stuff. Because there's a lot of really cool things. But again, that price point, I feel like, takes out a large chunk of people. And again, we're thinking very much from a Western standpoint, from where we're at in the United States. Obviously, this is going to be shipping around the world. So there's all kinds of, I think that's the other exciting part about it too, is seeing how people get this and then how they end up utilizing it and incorporating it into their regular lives. Because this is more than, this is what we're talking about. If I'm going to spend that kind of money, I need to be able to justify using it and how much I'm using it. They basically said you can use this in your everyday life for everything that you do. So like at least there, I feel like they've dialed that in and realized like, hey, this is more than just a thing. And I think that I think it's also kind of reaffirmed with how it's more of a mixed reality experience, where you're also still seeing and being able to interact and hear with things on the outside, along with being on the inside and doing the virtual stuff and the augmented reality, however people, you know, go about using this. So this is going to be interesting to see and where it takes technology, because it's not going to take long. And we already saw with Quest Pro that we see more of these companies coming out with things that are more geared towards this. But in my opinion, I think you have more of an opportunity getting folks that are gamers or at least in that world, as opposed to normal common folks picking this stuff up and look how long it took people to get iPhones and things like that. That was the weirdest concept to me. I was like, I remember I was adamant against it. I was like, I'll never need something like that. All I need to do is be able to make a text message and make a phone call. That's all, you know what I mean? Like that's good. Then my friend let me use hers. And I was like, this is amazing. How have I never used this? I need this immediately.
You know, what's interesting to me too is especially with workflows, I think people get set, at least I do, in like a certain way of doing things. I feel comfortable with it and I can do it quickly mm-hmm. and efficiently. So I feel like that might actually be hard for me to break too. I will say one thing though, Ryan. If for some reason I bought one of these things, I would wear this every day, because I'd be like, I just spent way too much money on this thing. I might sleep in it. Like I might never take that stupid thing off.
Yeah. Like, I'm just having an experience. Don't mind me. We'll see how it goes though. It is exciting and it's always great. I'm always excited to see technology move forward like this, especially in this space. Cause I remember for the longest time, I was like, VR just isn't viable. It's not there. It's not, you know, and the technology has been getting better and better. We can utilize it more. It's easier on the eyes. You're making the headset smaller. The fact that we don't have to have controls in our hand. Now they got the whole, like, you could just use that, which is crazy to think that their technology allows you the ability to just use your hands as a means of interacting with this.
Yep.
Insane to me. That is absolutely insane to me. So definitely, if anything, it is a feat forward in technology in itself. So I think this is huge. I'm curious to see when this does come out, what kind of moves they will make depending on the sales and who is it that's buying it, and then how are they using it once they've bought it. So, because you know, there'll be a ton of YouTube videos and things like that as well. So I just need more information. Tell me about the other batteries that you're going to try to sell me, and tell me how much internal memory this thing has, because they did not mention anything about memory, at least not that I noticed. So I'm curious. That's another big one that I'm curious
about.
The
other thing too is, so this has the M2 chip, correct?
Mm-hmm. M2 and I think they said a new chip called R1.
So I feel like by the time this actually comes out, we'll have new MacBook Pros with like the M3s starting to roll out.
That would be terrible. No, didn't they just do their new Macs though?
They did, so yeah, but don't they refresh those every year? Like don't they come out with a new numbered M chip every year so far?
Not every year. They've been on the M2 now for at least a few years.
Okay, that's good.
I want to say they came out with the M2 chip when they came out with the Pro, or not the Pro, the X.
Okay.
I think it's when the M2 chip came out. Yeah, so it's been a few years. They don't, yeah, not every year they're not changing out that. That would be insane if they're changing out those chips. But I think, too, what also is interesting about this is that R1 chip as well. So they'll work kind of in tangent. But the R1 is specific to this Vision Pro. Along with their, they have a whole separate iOS specifically for the Vision Pro as well. So, yeah, I think by the time they come out with a new chip, I imagine would be when they come out with a new version of this that has that's able to utilize this new chip as well. So I think it'd probably be at least a couple to a few years.
Okay.
Before they make that step. Yeah.
And the other thing that's going to worry me about the battery life is, you know, so we saw with the Apple Watch that for years, everyone was like, can you please increase the battery life? And when they finally did, they didn't do it on the standard model. They just created a more expensive model.
Got 'em. Yeah, no, that's one of the big things about Apple products, at least they're the stuff that, you know, their phones, their watches, stuff like that. Like the battery life on them is always a struggle.
Yep.
So you're talking about a high computing machine. It is going to eat and just gobble that battery life up. There's no way that there's not extra peripherals to be able to extend that battery life.
Right.
They say you want a base level experience, you can get the 2-hour battery. But we've got the mega battery, we've got the plus size battery, we've got the whatever, and it's only going to cost you a few extra $100.
At this point, I mean, you're already spending $3,500. What's $4,000? Like, I mean,
might as well. You're close enough, right? But wait, there's more. You could also get the 128 gigabyte version, the 256 gigabyte version, or the 512 gigabyte version. So, I mean, just give us $6,000. You can get it all right now.
Now see,
that is insane.
That is the other worrisome part to me too, is like with the iPhones, it's always been the middle tier that's been like the sweet spot for most people. Like their entry, yes, their cheapest storage usually is borderline not enough unless you're a light user. Mm-hmm. So that also worries me that this $3,500 actually won't actually be usable for the people that would be taking advantage of this,
which I think would be really dumb on their part. Again, it's one thing where, say, an iPhone, which is, you know, they got plans, they've got, and that's something else too. Is there going to be like payment plans that you're able to do? Because I know with an iPhone, you know, you could do payment plans, or they have the stuff where they work in conjunction with the phone companies to be able to do that. So maybe that's something that they're looking at as well, as being able to do some sort of model where you're not having to pay it all outright, or you pay $1,000 up front and then they put you on a payment plan for the rest or something like that. I think that would make it. But even still, man, I cannot imagine dropping that much money if I'm not using this thing every single day. That is more than a computer, a laptop, a MacBook Pro. That is a lot. That is a ton. So, you know, again, we'll see how, you know, moving forward as we get closer, as they give us more information. Again, it looks super cool. I think it's definitely the future of what is a possible future of the space and how we could potentially work and live our lives and view and interact with media. I just think that we are years away from this being a practical device that people are going to say, I need this. I need this for my job. I need this for whatever my day-to-day things. We're a long ways away, I feel, right now from that moment. So we'll see how it goes. But we officially know base price, $3,500. So if you start saving now. I'm not gonna say. anyway, man, yeah, nah, good stuff. What do you got going on this weekend? Obviously, we've got Game Fest, so I know we're gonna be busy watching these things or watching the reveals and all that good stuff.
Yep, definitely taking in all the announcements and diving into the new season of Marvel Snap. That'll probably be the chunk of my weekend. How about yourself?
I'm hoping to be able to start Tears of the Kingdom. I still haven't, even though we finished Jedi Survivor. I always have to take a moment before I just jump. I can't just jump back into something, especially a game as big as that. I've already decided that I'm just going to take my time with Tears of the Kingdom. I'm not in any kind of rush. I want to be able to explore and do cool things and just, you know what I mean, really, really dive deeper than I did, or at least that I felt that I did with Breath of the Wild. So I'm excited to start that. But like I said, I'm not in any kind of rush. You already know I'm going to be on that Marvel Snap as well, which I'm working on putting together a tournament as well. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what that'll look like. But I'll be posting stuff. So if there's anybody out there that listens as well, stay tuned, because we're going to be doing I'm going to be putting together a tournament with cash prizes. Nothing crazy. I ain't got no sponsors.
is first place going to be $3,500?
Yeah. First place gets a Vision, an Apple Vision Pro. Yeah, right. You get to watch me use an Apple Vision Pro. it should be chill though. I'm excited to game. I did get my Iron Banner stuff done, so that felt good. But other than that, just keeping it chill. And we hope you guys keep it chill as well. Don't forget, hit us up on the tweeters at Land Parties Pod, at Lucas Egan, or at Smitty2447. Again, thank you all so much for joining us. Don't forget, subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. And you know what it is. We love your faces.